Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am your main man, Mitts. In the background, you may hear baby Twigs harnessing all of the feelings I have for today about various sports. But my man Twigs here is in a much better mood than the rest of the crew. How's your day, pal?
Feeling groovy. Feeling great. Beautiful Sunday. Snowed in. You know, one of those days that you're just hunkered in and you're drinking coffee all day and I don't know, whatever you drink, maybe some cider, although Thanksgiving's kind of done. No, I feel good. 4-1, baby Flames are on a roll. But yeah, let's get this episode going, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it is, it's a good, the season's well underway. A lot of I think surprising things going on so far. The Blues, your 19 Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues are the only undefeated team left in the league. Now, some might say that's because they've only played three games and they're wildly behind. But I call those people naysayers. Blues are 3-0, took down a Stanley Cup contender last night, shut down one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in the league. So yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say that hockey's back. Hockey's doing well. Biggest, we didn't talk about this beforehand, so this is going to be some fun dead air here. What's your biggest surprises so far of the season, pal?
My biggest surprise so far, I actually think my biggest surprise so far is the I have two. The Colorado Avalanche and their depth is lacking, right? Missing Landeskog is huge, and Newhook just hasn't been the guy, and Confort just hasn't been the guy, but they've been carried by, you know, the three big boys that they have right now. Nichushkin, who is he the greatest player in the NHL right now? Like, is he that good? The guys are,
and say arguably.
Yeah, he is insane right now. McKinnon's on a roll, and Rantanen is, and Makar is also carrying them. The Tampa Bay Lightning, you've called it all offseason. Who are they? They are just kind of, you know, they beat Florida the other night. Wasn't very pretty. I think they won yesterday too against New York. But again, it's not like they're this fast team anymore that attacks at waves. It was just kind of like lots of turnovers, really ugly hockey. And then the complete and utter fall of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, I don't know if not to mince words, because what the Canucks have put on the ice is wildly disappointing. I don't even call it a fall. There's a bit of hype around them. I may have had a hand in that hype. And you know, you can lose a game here or there where you have a lead and you drop it. But that has been the Canucks all season long so far, and all season long, 5-6 games in. But it is already historic in the fact that no team has ever had a 2-goal lead for, I think it was 4 or 5 consecutive games, and gone on to lose all those games. That's never been done before. So tip the cap to Vancouver. They do seem like the team is on the verge of eating itself. That JT Miller signing, man, Vancouver media is just roasting him right now, seemingly with good reason. Just about every big play that's blown up in their face, you can find JT Miller on the ice and at least partially responsible for it. So yeah, that I think that's a bit of a shocker, how, even if you were a naysayer, how catastrophic the start to their season has gone. First jersey throw of the season was there last night, which, let me just take a moment. Anybody out there that's at a hockey game and considering throwing your jersey, please, please don't. Not out of respect for the team, not because it takes away from the game. These jerseys cost hundreds of dollars. Don't throw away your money like that. Don't waste your money. You know what? If you're done with it, if you hate the team, you want to move on, give it to charity, donate it somewhere, give it to your little sibling. I don't know. Maybe just stash it and bury it in the backyard so you can dig it up in a couple of years when they're good again. But don't just throw it away. It's a waste of your money. And it's really, the NHL just loves to see that, because they know that same person is that passionate, going to come back and buy another jersey inside of the next 6 to 8 months. So it's just money in their pocket, baby.
I will say, and I'm here for the entertainment, right? You have Vancouver fans burning their jerseys online last night, burning them. You have six jersey tosses on the ice. And I just, why? Like, why? Like, what are you achieving here? You just burned $300. I just bought a new jersey. I just bought the reverse retro Calgary Flames. I know how expensive they are. They're expensive. And you just burned it? Like, it wasn't even a knockoff. It was an Adidas, like, prime green or whatever those are. You just burned it for, like, some attention. You've now taken, you know, the team's problems and made it about you. It's not about you. And we're only to, you know, we're six games in. It's a long season. You still have two overtime losses. Yes. Was the game last night, like, disappointing? Yeah, they got steamrolled. Buffalo looks like they're not pretenders anymore. Maybe they're a fringe contender, like, just trying to get into the playoffs, which is crazy for me to say. It's crazy because last pod, I literally ripped them for being boring. And they came in and swept Western Canada. I'm just not all here for this throwing the jersey. It's just kind of like, we get it. We get it, right? Like, the team's not happy. The ownership's not happy. The coach is not happy. Nobody's happy. Like, everybody wants to use JT Miller as a scapegoat. Trust me, JT Miller has been playing horrible defense, but he's not the reason why they're losing all these games. He's just not. He's not the only reason. I don't know. I'm just kind of – Vancouver and Montreal have got to be the toughest markets. They have got to be the toughest markets.
Vancouver, yeah, I think flies under the radar, but is tough because the fans' knee-jerk reaction to just blowing up at the slightest. Just no emotional maturity in that regard as an overall fandom, really, to show for it at all. And I don't know why that is. I couldn't begin to guess, but having some experience living here now and also harkening back to the Stanley Cup loss riot, it's bad. It's rough. I'm hoping that the Brucey B can turn it around, but I mean, they still don't have much in the way of defense. There's nobody coming off of IR that's going to be a big difference maker in that regard. There's not a lot of talent back there. OEL still taking a big piece of the cap. That is what it is. But you touched on it. Speaking of burning up the standings, those Buffalo Sabres, I'd be remiss and I would get called out in my private group chat if I did not take a moment to gloat on their behalf about how well they're doing and how great they look. Do you feel like you're eating your words, or are you just happy for everybody having a good time?
I feel like my words are pretty powerful, and they must have heard it down in the radio wave, like on the radio waves in Buffalo. And yeah, I don't even know who they are. Like, that team is just competes, and they're fast and they're huge. Mm-hmm. And they like completely stretch the play, like stretch passes left and right. Like, they're opening up. They're a really fun team to watch. And last season, while the rumors of Jack Eichel were being around and traded, everybody was like, you know what? Trade Rasmus Dahlin while you're at it. Get him out of here. The kid is a stud. Who would have thought if you had, like, you remove all that negative attention and all that negative energy and all that, like, oh, we suck, and just let the kid play. How well he can, like, thrive. He's going to be a superstar. His record's still going. He's got 5 goals in the first 5 games as an NHL defenseman. Never been done before. Before that, it was 3 in a row, as I recall, and he beat it with 4, and now he's on 5. Like, they're good. Tage Thompson, big dude. Alex Tuck is, you know what? Calgary might have offered Buffalo Matthew Tkachuk, but this Alex Tuck deal and Peyton Krebs, that guy wants to be in Buffalo, and it's and it's showing. Good on him. Was I completely wrong? Completely wrong. Completely. Like, they're well coached. Now, do I think their goaltending is going to be as good as it's been all season? No. Like, come on. It's not. That's pretty obvious, right? Like,
Craig Anderson revenge season, baby.
Yeah, Craig Anderson and freaking Eric Comrie just playing amazing. No, it's not going to be that great all year. Do I think they're going to be in every single game? Yeah, I think they're going to be in every single game. And that's a great first step for a team that's finally looking like it's turning the corner. So I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the, you know, boring people of Buffalo. But yeah, that's good.
I think it's great. This is the, you know, all these predictions, you know, we and others in the media that make preseason, you know, we're basing this off of really flawed information. And it's really great to see. There's always that unpredictable variable. And the team is playing well. They seem to be playing for one another. The culture, from an outsider at a glance, looks like it's completely turned around. So that's great. That's good to see. And yeah, it's not surprisingly, moving off of those exciting Buffalo Sabres, seeing teams like San Jose, Arizona, Anaheim, Winnipeg, we discussed having kind of what looks like the season we thought they were going to have. Montreal, while being in it a lot of games and having some exciting play, I think we're kind of seeing where they really truly are.
Can I just take a minute on Montreal really quick? Just 1 minute on this. I am over the moon for Sean Monahan.
Yeah.
Like over the moon. Like, let me read you this quote. I think it was from The Athletic. And it was about Sean Monahan. And this is what it says. Monahan said for the better part of the past 3 years, he was unable to sleep for much more than an hour at a time because of his hip issues. For every hour he would sleep, he figures he would be awake for a half an hour every night for 3 years. I had to sleep on my back with my legs bent up because as soon as I would straighten it out, the femur would go right into the hip socket and would lock up. So then I would have to wake up and move around. For 3 years, this guy, just, and again, it's like hockey culture. I don't know what it is. Let's just like destroy our bodies to like keep playing this game that we're going to play at a 50% level. This man is playing unreal. And I couldn't be happier for the player, because a lot of people with like something like this, their career would be done. And he went to Montreal. He looks like he's in really good shape. He's playing with Cole Caulfield. He's playing with Nick Suzuki. He's playing on the number one power play. Are they winning games? No, but this is exactly what he needed. No pressure. Just go out and play. So good on good on Montreal for taking on that challenge, and good on Sean Monahan. I'm really happy for him.
Yeah. One nod I want to give begrudgingly and not fully, my heart's not fully in it, is to Philadelphia, who have come out of the gate screaming. I think that when we see things start to play out more and more games get played, and some of these teams like a Tampa kind of put it together a little bit more, once it all comes on the wash, Philadelphia is a team that I won't back down about the fact that I think they're going to crash back down to earth. I still don't think that they're there. And I think that Torts is what I can say about him is that he can get short-term success, but I don't think he's going to have long-term success.
I don't know if they need him to be long-term. Like, I don't think he's the long-term answer in Philadelphia. But I think it's similar to what Daryl Sutter did. You had a team that was like zero identity, had decently good players, but couldn't achieve it. Now, do I think Philadelphia's roster is that good? No, Philadelphia's roster is not that good. But I'm happy for Ivan Provorov, who seems to be playing well. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hayes seems to be playing well. Like, there's a Travis Konecki, who was just freaking destroyed by past coaches, seems to be playing well. And I think that's what you need. It's a culture shift. Now, do I think this is going to help Philadelphia in the long run? No. It's the same situation as Vancouver's right now. You should have rebuilt. You had all the pieces to rebuild. And you're like, no, we're going to go for it. And I get it. COVID, all that. Boom. You want to make money. You want to get in the playoffs. You're not. You're just not that team. I'm happy that the culture is shifting. Fans are probably more excited. But no, I don't know. Like you said, I guess it's all for building culture, and then eventually they'll have to rebuild because they don't have the pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. It's been a fun start to the season so far. If you are in fantasy at all, if you're listening to us, I assume that you are that much of a sick hockey person like us that you are in fantasy. It's been topsy-turvy with some of the scoring nights the players are having, the insane swings that we're seeing so far. So that's pretty exciting. That's pretty fun. My one word of advice to anybody else out there is it's still early. Don't trade away. Don't give up on everything. Unless you're in my league, then all of you, please trade everyone away. Give up on everything and just let me win. Let's move over to the meat of the episode.
Uh-oh.
The reverse retro jerseys came out this week. There are some shockingly great jerseys and some huge misses. We posted our rankings on Twitter, at least our top 10 and what we think. There were some crossover. I think we both agree that judging by what we've posted, right. St. Louis, great jersey. Florida, great jersey. Sharks, surprisingly, pretty good jersey. And LA, love the crown, love the color play there. There are a few areas where we don't agree. And before we really dive in, I think, what do you think is, like, in your opinion, what's the purpose of these jerseys? You know, what if they're releasing them, what are they trying to do? What's the goal here?
Well, I think the whole, like, when they first did the reverse retro and it was so widely successful, was that they took a successful retro from the past and they changed the color schemes to maybe nowadays colors, or they did something like that. And it seemed to really work out. Now, what you saw with phase two of the reverse retros, and that's, like, I'm calling out Florida here, I think their jersey is absolutely beautiful. That was never an alternate jersey. Never. They just made a new jersey. So it wasn't a reverse retro at all. So I don't even think, do I have them ranked high? Yeah, I have them ranked really high. I think it's a gorgeous jersey. Mm-hmm. But it's not, like, it's not the premise of the whole, you know, plan for these jerseys. It's just, they're like, hey, we're just going to make a brand new one. And they had a really solid phase one, and now they've had a really solid phase two. I will say I'm a little, like, pissed at especially Calgary's market for this. So they have the Blasty, which is going to be, I think, worn 12 times, which is awesome. I love that jersey. And then they have this one, which is only going to be worn 4 times. But what they did is they put all the marketing for this, like, oh, buy it for Christmas, buy it for Christmas, buy it for Christmas. All 4 games are played before Christmas. So all these people are going to buy this jersey. And then after Christmas, you're never going to see it again. Hmm. Like, that's a dirty move. Is it not? Like, I don't know. I'm here for it because, like, I have quite a collection of jerseys. I love them. I wear them all the time. But I think for, like, young kids and all that, and if you're going to do it, at least 6 times is probably good. Have a couple after the holiday season, have a couple before the holiday season, but have them all right before. Calgary, do better, man. You're disgusting. Stop trying to take money. You know, you make so much.
I feel you. And I do. I wish they would have a little more. I don't know. I would like to see more of their alternate jerseys worn throughout the season, because I think when we look at an example like Vancouver last year produced so many gorgeous alternates, they would have loved to have watched them actually play in those handful of times. I asked the question about that, though, is because to me, when I look at this and I think, the whole purpose of this is to kind of look, and I'm looking at what a lot of the teams did, or what they did for a lot of teams. They're trying to nod to the past, yes, but a step towards the future. You know, We want to make something that's going to be appealing to someone that's like maybe a new fan. Maybe get it out there, get a stir, get people excited about it, bring more eyes in, but also for people like yourselves who have a billion of these jerseys, to give you something new and unique. And that's why I bagged on Calgary so hard, is because that doesn't look like anything unique or creative to me. That feels like just they phoned it in, like they had 5 minutes to finish the group project and that's what they slapped together.
No.
And to me, that's also why I gave the Bruins bad marks, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure that exact jersey exists somewhere, except instead of a lightning band around the arm, it was a straight circle. Like, to me, that lacks the creativity and the energy of what a lot of the other teams brought. Like, you look at the Blues, that's a throwback to a jersey that I think there's only worn one other time, but it's fun. It's completely different from anything else the Blues wear or that they've sold recently. And, yeah. You similarly with Florida is that it's a brand new, unique thing. So, those are ones that I get excited about. And that's why some of these teams, like, and I'll say it, more than half of the Canadian teams, I thought their jerseys stank. I thought, like, the Edmonton Cog was already one of the ugliest jerseys ever produced, and they brought it back. The Washington Capitals, just
a terrible jersey
that basically already exists. The only difference with this jersey is it looks more like the 2007 video game version of painted on jerseys. It doesn't actually look like something anyone would want to wear. It's just trash. It is so so trash. I love what the Coyotes did. That's such an unorthodox, like that like burnt sienna orange, whatever it is. It's such an unorthodox hockey jersey color.
I think it's awesome, but like you're again, the whole premise of reverse retro is what you said was to take from the past and make it today, like take a couple steps and make it today's future. The Arizona Coyotes, these are brand new jerseys. They've never been worn in the past. Never. Like they took the katana, or what is it? How do you?
Kachina,
whatever. They took that logo and they're like, we're just going to put the head on. Boom. That's it.
Not to the past, step to the future.
I don't know. I must be taking it more as like the literal sense that we're going to take an old jersey and we're going to switch up some colors. And that's, and that's what it was. The Bruins jersey is absolutely beautiful. I don't know how you can hate the Winnie the Pooh jersey. It's stunning. The Florida Panthers one, again, it's brand new. That's never been like a logo ever. It was a shoulder pad logo. And they're like, boom, right there. Baby blue. Looks gorgeous. But again, I must be taking it more literal. And I just want to like touch on the Calgary Flames slander that I'm hearing on the other side of this, these beautiful, beautiful headset. There was only one other option the Flames could have done. And that's the Atlanta Flames logo, which is identical to their right now jersey. It's like identical. Okay, we're just going to take the C off and put the A back on. And I don't know if that does it. Now, do I hate that their last two reverse retros are black? Yeah, I absolutely hate it. This one should have been red. It would have been gorgeous. But you know what? I'm okay with it. They took a pedestal jersey that I've never owned, and now I have one. So let's do this.
No, it's bunk. It's no good.
Oh,
they need to be a little bit. They need to be creative.
Did you not like the Tampa Bay Lightning's jersey?
It's mid.
How is that mid? It's amazing.
It's mid. They took the good parts of the original jersey they had, and they just ruined it. It only gets by on the fact that it still has some good, like it's mid. It's not the worst. That was to Calgary, Ottawa, and Toronto that just said, we care so little about our fans. We're just going to give them the same jersey we've been pumping them for the last 40, 50, 60 years. And they're just going to lap it up because they don't know any better. Just serve them the same refried bacon from 2 days before and sitting in that hot sham. It's not legal to serve, and you guys are just so happy to get it. It's bunk. It's trash. Calgary could have been more creative. They could have done something like the Blues. They could have done something a little bit more edgy, like even the Florida or Arizona. Arizona doesn't even want them there, and they still have a better jersey than Calgary. It's ridiculous. And I want to throw it there, I love what the Sabres did with the goat head, which it's surprising me that it's a goat head considering the Sabres, which is like, I always thought it was a nod to like a buffalo of some sort.
Thought it was a buffalo. Is it a goat?
I've been hearing it and reading everywhere that they call it the goat head. I don't know if that's what that confusion is. And if anybody out there can correct me on that, please reach out and do. But everywhere I've been reading about this year, because they've been pumping it up, they refer to it as the goat head. But I love the color scheme on it. I love that. It's great. And the one Canadian team that I really will give a nod to is that I do like what the Jets did with the all white and then the different blues and the black on there. I thought that's clean and crisp. And something that's nice, something that looks good, a nod to their like famous whiteouts, but with some of their traditional colors.
And you also liked Vancouver's, which I think is like the ugliest jersey out there.
Nah, it's fun though.
How is that fun? It looks like their Abbotsford Heat jersey, or not Abbotsford Heat. What the heck is their?
I think it's Johnny name? Canuck, isn't it? It's
well, yeah, but that's their AHL team's logo. They're like, hey, let's just use it twice.
Shout out to where we started. You know,
oh my gosh.
By the end of the season, half the team is going to be team players that started in Abbotsford, probably. So, might as well get them used to it by now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I think St. Louis is amazing. I think Florida's is amazing. I'm actually surprised you didn't like the fishermen on the Islanders, because boy, have those fans been like begging for that jersey, like begging for it. And Lou Lamoriello,
it looks like if they had updated it a little bit.
They did. They switched the stripe. it's not wavy anymore.
If they had updated the actual emblem with the fisherman in some way, but it feels like they have just a bunch of them in the back that they had to use up anyways. I would have liked to have seen the Canadian teams, especially with the Canadian teams, because they've got fan bases that they're not going anywhere. You're not going to alienate your fan base with an ugly jersey. So take some chances. You know, so far to the date, as far as I can recall, the most out there and edgy jersey the Leafs ever put out there was the Bieber jersey, and it was just an all black, which was already an overdone fad. Like, let's do something a little bit more fun there, guys. You've got the largest fan market for hockey in the world. Give them something different than the exact same jersey with a few more points on the flower on the leaf and slightly fewer white stripes.
You talk about creativity and stretching, you know, the imagination for these consumers to buy these jerseys. But then you have the Montreal Canadiens at number four. All they did was like, yo, hey guys, brainstorm with me. Let's all sit down. Baby blue. That's it. That's all it took. Exact same jersey. Like, we're going to rip off the exact same one. We're just going to change the main color to baby blue.
If the Toronto Maple Leafs had made an all red Leafs jersey, it would be in my top five right now. And it would be amazing. And it would be a great shot, because to me, this is what I see. Now, that shade of blue, the blue is a very French Canadian color. But the Maple Leafs, and I swear to God, if they come out with this in the next year, I'm suing them for this credit. Maple Leafs, like, we all jokingly and with a chip on our shoulder refer to them as Canada's team, and they definitely refer to themselves like that. It's that type of idea. They need to go out there with a red jersey and just own it, just throw it out there. I think that would be hot. That'd be great. That'd be fantastic. No one, I mean, look, they're going to wear it for one game, but most of the people that wear it go to the Leafs games anyways. They're just coming off their business meetings, a bunch of accountants and lawyers in there. They don't care about hockey anyways, but the fans are going to be excited for a fun alternate jersey.
Yeah, I think the Bieber one just shows that they can put out like garbage and they'll just eat it up.
Yeah.
Stupidest. Oh, and can we also crap on the Vegas Golden Knights here? Oh. They're all like, this jersey is amazing. It glows in the dark. Newsflash, they play in light. The full game is played in light. Like, there's no dark. Maybe in the warm-ups, but I'm pretty sure it's, you know what I mean? Like, they can't just have like a full out blackout for everybody. I don't know. Yeah. I here's the thing. I actually have and Adidas is now leaving the NHL as the main jersey like provider. What I think after next year, I think it is. And I've actually really enjoyed their jerseys. I have not enjoyed the Fanatics jerseys too much. A little bit. Yeah, it's a beautiful jersey, but I've enjoyed that they're like the first jersey, and that goes with practice jerseys, that goes with the reverse retro, that goes with the alternate, that like looks like they're trying to be a little creative. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoy the reverse retro. I think that's a fun like play. And yeah, do they only wear them 4 or 5 times? Yeah, but you know what? The NHL, who's been bland forever, And it's like one jersey. You know, you're showing a little creativity. The NBA makes millions of dollars off of having a whole bunch of different jerseys. Soccer has a new kit every single year. It's nice to see that there's a little creativity that's going on.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's so important that the teams that took a chance and tried to have fun and tried to be creative get all the praise, and the teams that just rolled out the same garbage again need to be absolutely buried and dusted. Because this is an aspect of when we talk about we need to bring new voices and new perspective to the game. We need to bring in everybody. NHL game is for everyone, remember? This is when we need that influx of energy and excitement, and not the same old, same old, same old. We're going to see the real, like the authentic throwbacks. Those are always going to be around. They're going to be produced, and you've got your classic jerseys, the regular everyday jerseys that they're going to be wearing. This is an opportunity to have fun, to reach new fans, to give a completely alternative look to the team, and to show that hockey is for everyone and that they're looking at other voices. You know, I don't know. I think that, especially considering all of the fun jerseys that we saw like last year from the Canucks in particular, I guess I had higher hopes. I thought that we were going to see some real interesting creative things out there. And for some teams, they did. They really tried. And then for other teams, they phoned it in, and they're still going to probably be leading in sales because their fans just gobble up whatever, just happy for the scraps.
I want to play a quick game with you. It's really quick. Right. Not a love game, not Lady Gaga. But damn, that was
a little that one's gonna go there. Right to the fan base, the heart of the fan.
So we're now 2 weeks into the regular season, as I believe. And I want to play regret or like perfect fit with you. I'm gonna name off some of the biggest free agents. And just going off the top of the mind, quick like this, not really overthinking it, I want you to say regret or baby that fits like a glove. You don't actually have to say baby that fits like a glove, but something like that. And the first one I want to start with is John Klingberg from the Anaheim Ducks. He signed a 1-year, $7 million deal with the Anaheim Ducks towards the later half of free agency. What do you think the Anaheim Ducks are saying right now?
Can I give you a meh? I mean, like, okay, like this is, you know, like, what? Nothing. The Ducks stink. Klingberg is not. He's not doing anything. It was a chance for him to make some money, and good on him. He got paid, and that's not a small amount of money. That's wonderful. But it's certainly not the big payday that I think he was expecting. And I don't know. I feel like the Ducks probably don't regret it because it's still so early, but he's definitely not a perfect fit.
So meh. We're going to chalk that one up to meh, I guess. So yeah, the next one
no heat for that guy.
Yeah, it's just not sexy, I guess. And that's a lot of money for him. Next one up is comes from our New Jersey Devils. You know, they were in the Johnny Gaudreau sweepstakes. They were in the Kevin Fiala sweepstakes. They were in the Matthew Tkachuk sweepstakes. They lost out on all three. They went 0-3. So they settled with the perfect rebound. Mr. Palat himself, Mr. Two-time Palat. He's got 3 goals in 5 games. What do you think the Devils are saying?
Perfect fit. That's a team that has, you know, underperformed the last 2 years, I'd say, but only in terms of the team that they thought they were going to take a step forward. They've got so much young talent, and Palat is looking like the piece that, and some of this is probably natural progression as well, that's really helped tying it all together there and teaching those young guys how to actually win at that level. So I'm going to go with perfect fit. It helps to have one of the best face-off guys in the game, my boy Nico Hischier, up there too.
It's looking good. All those fire rough chants are slowly disappearing. This one's going to hit a little close to home for you, and his extension hasn't kicked in yet. JT Miller.
I mean, how could this be anything but a regret given the start of the season, given the fact that, like you pointed out, he's not the reason. I'll say he's not the only reason, but it's hard to deny the overtime game against Minnesota. He failed to clear the puck, which immediately led to Minnesota maintaining control in the zone. Now, there was a delayed penalty because Tyler Myers took a penalty, which Tyler Myers does, but that was one. I think it was his 5-on-5 numbers, if I'm not mistaken, are just atrocious. Almost, at least in the first two games, almost all the goals scored against were with him on the ice. I think it's got to be regret, because if nothing else, this feels like management and the coaching staff completely misread what they had with them. And I understandably so, because I misread. I'm coming off of last season, the way that they finished so strong. I think anybody with any, you know, sense of momentum would have thought it would carry forward. Maybe not to be world beaters, but not this, certainly not this. Now there's all kinds of media, manufactured or otherwise, coming out about, you know, the dressing room's really clicky. They're showing Luke Shen and just reaming JT Miller out after the end of the period there on the ice. At this point, it's got to be regret. But yeah, I'm not sure that they had a lot of other choices, which probably makes it that much more regrettable.
Now, I do love that answer, because it's tough, because at the time you got a 100-point left wing center that's like, hey, I'm going to commit to your city. I love it here in Vancouver. I'm going to sign. I may even take a little less money than I probably could on the open market if I was a free agent this year. And now we're at the point that we're 2 weeks in and we're like, I think everybody would be at the fan base, the media, everybody would be like, yeah, we regret the hell out of this thing. The next one I want to say is a little bit of a shocker. He was the shocker of the summer. No, not Johnny Gaudreau, because we all know that's perfect like a glove. I'm not going there. But it's his buddy that went right before him. He signed for 4 years times $4 million per. The guy's getting caved in on his own. Eric Gabranson. What are you saying about Eric Gabranson 2 weeks in?
I'm going to say a perfect fit, because I'm telling you right now, Eric Gabranson played a key role in Johnny Gaudreau signing there. So,
okay.
Yeah, he stinks. He is a liability, and they overpaid him. But with the cap going up likely next year, and then the year after that, and early predictions putting it around $4 million, you can sweep that under the rug and say, we brought in the biggest free agent of the offseason. We give our fans a reason to cheer when, I mean, come on, it's Columbus. They don't have a lot of things to be excited about, especially these days. I mean, even the name is a little bit like, ooh.
That's true.
Gabranson is exactly who we thought he was on the ice, but it also turns out that he's a matchmaker extraordinaire and will probably go on to be a very, very successful agent when this is all done. So
he's a hunk too. Dreamy. Yeah. He's dreamy. Terrible at hockey. Extremely dreamy. And the last one, the guy that dragged us along all summer, wouldn't give us hints, thought he was going to New York, ended up in Cowtown, Nazem Kadri. What you saying about him?
I mean, he's the perfect fit. The evidence is there. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak. What are you going to say? The guy has been impactful. He looks like he's still playing some of the best hockey of his career. No.
Even the
bitterness that I have towards him.
That's why I said
in terms of outcomes. You know, he's still a heck of a player. It's a huge, huge get still. It was at the time, and it still is now a huge get for Calgary. And in a lot of ways, what we spoke about is the concern about how this team would gel with so many big impactful pieces coming in. And right now, he's playing great, and he's also a bigger personality, which probably allows little Wallflower Huberdeau to just quietly, you know, get comfortable in the room and probably lighten some incense, getting all like settled in, because there's no way Huberdeau was going to be able to take on all of that media and all of that attention. So for his on-ice, for his off-ice contributions, and for the fact that he is allowing the other big names to just dip their toes in and get comfortable slowly but surely, Nazem Kadri is a perfect fit.
I love it. I will say Nazem Kadri is hands down, him and Rasmus Anderson have hands down been the best Flames so far. Huberdeau should have like 20 assists if Lindholm like could learn how to score again, but that's okay. I'm loving the Nazem Kadri, and I was one of the hardest critics on it. Did not want that contract, did not want that player. And I'm eating my words on that too. He's been amazing. And you could see when he gets on the ice. What I will say is to any free agent out there, if you want to like get your career to step up a couple more notches, go play with Nathan MacKinnon. Look at Nichushkin. Look at Nazem Kadri. Look at all these players that are going there, and all of a sudden they're like resurrected. Even Burakovsky, who was like scapegoat in Washington, goes, wins a cup with Colorado, now is in Seattle, scoring almost every other day. It's awesome. It's great to see that Nathan MacKinnon can change everybody's diet and make them become good hockey players.
I was going to say, I'll give it to you for free. The secret's cauliflower-based pasta. Maybe there it is right there.
Exactly.
That's, you know, 20 years ago, it was Gary Roberts teaching all these young up-and-comers like Stamkos that, hey, if you just work out regularly, you're going to be one of the best players in the league already, doing box jumps and whatnot. And now the next hurdle, is that,
that cauliflower diet, pasta. That diet. By the way, I know we're not a food like pod here, but I will say I went to this nice little restaurant in Calgary a few weeks back, and I had cauliflower crust pizza. Boy, was I amazed. Delicious. It was delicious. And I'm not even that type of guy. I don't go out trying to find the new hip stuff. I want to eat junk. I want to eat all this. Delicious. It was amazing. Went for the fried chicken, stayed for the pizza. That's a true story, actually.
I believe every word of that. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm really excited to see what is going to happen in a dark way, that what's going to happen with the Canucks season this year, because this is so bad. And Canucks tickets aren't cheap. And there has already been reports that while they're no Edmonton, that they're charging close to like $20 for a beer. Unless they can turn this around soon or significantly, they're going to be looking at pretty empty stands really quick, probably before Christmas, unless they do something significant here. And no one's going to be there to be able to buy those $20 beers.
Yeah. I'm so sick of owners and these prices and stuff. And you look down south, and my brother lives in Texas, and you can go to a Dallas game for $50 and sit pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Calgary game, I bought my two tickets for the two games I'm going to already, which is Columbus to see my little boy, and Florida to boo on Matthew Tkachuk, which is like the opposite of how the rest of the fan base is, but I still, that's how I feel. And they're like $180 a ticket.
Yeah.
And it's insane. And you go there, a beer is $11. And once the new arena gets done, hopefully soon, a beer is going to be $17. Two burgers at Edmonton at Rogers Place, two burgers, two Lay's chips, which are the small ones that kids get for Halloween, and two pops or whatever, is $55.
Yeah.
Like, first, the players have to pay back all this escrow. You're making all this extra money off tickets. You're killing in the concession. You know, throw your fans like a little bit of bone here. Jerseys are $300. I don't know. It's getting ridiculous. But
no, Edmonton's pricing is as if they expect the price of oil to go back up through the roof up there. And I don't think it's going to. So they might want to chill on that.
Well, the best is, didn't like a huge part of that arena get paid by the people, like of Edmonton? It's like, okay, here you guys are. Now come in and buy my burgers for $55. Like, that's a big F you, man.
One good thing I will say about Calgary arena beers is that you really only need one. Because whatever else they're putting in there, and I'm, you know, anybody that's been to a Flames game knows, two or three of those beers, good luck where you wake up the next day.
You're feeling good. You're, you know, feeling nice. It's sloppy.
Yeah. And, hey, and I appreciate it.
I appreciate it too.
I appreciate that while they still are expensive, you know, at Vancouver, they don't root for me at all. And I'm just paying like $20 for a Michelob Ultra. And I'm just like done it before the period's half over. Like, feel fine. You know, it's terrible.
There's nothing like going to the Dome and getting a beer and drugged at the same time. It's amazing.
That's the Calgary experience.
Yeah. Welcome. Come for the hockey, stay for the Stampede. It's all good. Same things happen.
Oof. Oh, man. All right. Well, it's been a fun first week. By all accounts, I don't remember if we mentioned this earlier or not, I will be losing this week in fantasy to your brother, arguably your worst brother.
Yep.
Or your best, who's to say?
Worst.
I don't think anybody's ever met all of them at once.
Whoa, what does that mean? Whoa, chill. Calm down. They're all great, all 12 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved your family on that TLC show, you know.
Yeah. Sister wives. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I knew where you were going. Let's end this. Yeah.
All time outro right there. Well, for all 16 of Twig's brothers and sisters, and for myself, we want to wish you a wonderful week. Thanks for joining us. Be safe out there. Be kind to one another. And go Blues.
Go Flames.